The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website freshfm.net for our contact details.
Sport. The Marco Rugby Roundup.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Marco Rugby Roundup podcast, where we find out who the fanatics are when it comes to all things rugby. And it's my pleasure to welcome to the show once again my co-host, Mr. Les Edwards. G'day, Les.
Yeah, good to morning. Be back, mate. Yeah, great to be back in the studio with you. Looking forward to a fairly long chat, given that the Marco men got underway last weekend and our women are playing so well. So lots to talk about.
Indeed. In today's show, we're going to be talking college rugby, the Farah Palmer Cup, MPC, and also our special guest is Stu Hunter, who's the Marco team manager, and of course the ongoing saga of the mighty All Blacks. But before we talk about that, let's talk college rugby. Nelson College, a big win on the front field.
Yeah, so they hosted Roncalli, Aoraki combined, and yeah, had a gallop, 67 points to nil. Yeah. So that's a massive win in the final round robin. Waimea conversely went to Christchurch Boys High and suffered a similar scoreline in a defeat of 64-0 to Christchurch Boys High. So in terms of round robin final tune-up, Nelson College very, very well placed, I would think, for their semi-final in the Cup. But first of all, at 11 a.m. Saturday, Waimea Combined are playing Selwyn Combined at Lincoln High School, and that's a semi-final in the bowl division.
And they beat Selwyn, didn't they, last time?
Yeah, I believe they did. Yes. So, yes, but, you know, it's at Lincoln, so they'll have to be at their very best. But, you know, I think that they're good enough, absolutely, to beat Selwyn Combined.
And Nelson College, wow, what a big clash this is. Christchurch Boys High School, and the two schools have been there before too.
Oh, absolutely.
And College did get over them.
Yeah, so they played in the final last year. They've had close tussles this year. Nelson College, with home field advantage on the front field, you know, stand a good chance, two plays three. It'll be close. So what they really need, Chris, is a lot of support out
there. They do.
They need all of the alumni to get out in their droves, and of course the younger ones with their bells and whistles. So front field, 12 noon is the place to be.
Tasman Marco women, last Saturday, FPC round 3 at Lansdowne Park. Check this out, Tasman Marco 42 defeated North Harbour Hibiscus 15. And I did watch the match, and the girls played absolutely tremendous. And I've got to say, one of the comments I thought was there's actually room for improvement. There were quite a few mistakes by both sides, but I thought, geez, you know, these girls actually didn't play the perfect game, but they still defeated them comfortably.
Yes, and, you know, I agree with your sentiment. On the back of the win against Taranaki Fio the previous week, we commented, what we're looking for is continuous improvement. And I say the same thing applies. It was a terrific win over the Hibiscus. But like you, I saw areas where they could definitely continue to improve. And I know the coaches think the same way. And I know the players think the same way. So this is a team that really wants to be good. Yeah. Now, they're up against tough opposition in a first game doubleheader on Saturday. They have to play the Otago Spirit, which is clearly the best team in the championship division.
Right.
So, you know, continuous improvement, staying in the game, staying in the fight. That's what we're seeing. And there are some very talented young ladies in the team.
Yeah, no, a tremendous effort. Congratulations. Two wins a row. They're on a roll. So good luck. 11:35 a.m. versus the Otago Spirit Saturday. Next Saturday at Trafalgar Park, they're going to be taking on Hawke's Bay Tui.
Yeah, that's at 11:35 on a following weekend, Saturday, and free entry. So I really do urge people to get along. Have a look at this team. It's definitely awesome. They play good rugby.
They do.
They play very good rugby. There's terrific forwards. The backs are improving all the time. They've got a lovely halfback, excellent first 5-8, but it's the outside backs are starting to come into play more and more. But like every game, it's built on a forward pack that works hard.
It kind of reminds me when the Marco men started hitting their straps in the early days, and it kind of reminds me that they're building, and now they're actually starting to show some stuff, and I'd say watch out, because I think a sharp team is developing. Tasman Marco men, well, we can't say the same for the men. It was a good win, and I have to say, ups to Southland, they really took it to the Marco, and the Marco did well actually to win the game, I thought, because Southland were absolutely bashing the Marco, but the Marco held in there and they got through, so that's a good mark. But I remember Quentin Strange at the end of the game, he was on his knees and he just shook his head, so some things weren't quite going right.
Yeah, so it was a game that was delayed by 4.5 hours, and we're going to talk more about that with the Marco team manager Stu Hunter shortly. But you know, the Stags took forever to get to Blenheim from Invercargill.
Yeah.
So you would have thought that they would be a little bit distracted, but their second half performance was second to none. I'm kind of interested to ask you what actually changed in that second half, because in the first half, Chris, we looked absolutely awesome. You know, led 27-10, playing beautiful attacking rugby, had three tries up, one more try and there's a bonus point win, and it didn't come. Yeah. So I know I'm at ground level, you know, ground announcing, and I could sense two things. One, the wind changed direction,
right,
and two, the temperature dropped.
So right.
Maybe the temperature drop was in Southland's favour, given that they spend their time in a fridge all the time.
Yeah, that's right. But they did, I thought they played really well. They did really take it to the mark on that second half.
Yeah, without a doubt. Marty Banks still has what it takes. They've got, some terrific hard-nosed forwards. But yeah, I was wrapped with the way Marty Banks proved that he's still got it. And there was a young lad in the Southland Stags, Grayson Knapp, who was an ex-Nelson College player. He scored their try, so one of their two tries, so that was interesting in itself. In terms of our performances, Campbell Parada was named by the team as their Mako man. And the coaches gave Defender of the Week to Hugh Renton, who came on as a replacement for Anton Segner and put on some pretty decent shots.
Yeah, great. Well, they got the win, which is the important thing. Well done. And now they're off to Dunedin to take on Otago at 2:05.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yes.
At Forsyth Bar, the second game. So our women play first, then our men. So all of that's on the television. For those who won't be travelling, and I'm sure that's the great majority of us. So looking forward to watching that. And, just seeing improvement, as I say, as we talked about with the women, you know, you've got to get it. They're now getting to the end of their comp, so they're really starting to hit their straps. And what you've got to see from the Marco men is that they shake that second half off and they get back to the type of rugby that we're used to watching them.
Next home game is Friday, in actual fact. 26th of August in Blenheim versus Canterbury. Wow, what a big game that's going
to
be.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything builds up to that. So Otago on Saturday, then the following weekend it's up to North Harbour, and then to Blenheim to play Canterbury in which is our traditional derby match. And very important that we be on song. The game is being played at 5:35 on the 26th of August. That's kind of interesting. Take the afternoon off, drive over the hill, visit a vineyard, watch the game, stay overnight, and go to a vineyard again for lunch.
Oh, it
sounds like
there
the perfect weekend.
Perfect.
Tickets are available, of course, on www.marco.nz.
You're with the Marco Rugby Roundup, and it is our pleasure to welcome Marco NPC manager Stu Hunter. Stu is in his second season as manager of the Mighty Tasman Marco. Welcome to the show, Stu. And Sunday was pretty unusual, wasn't it, for match day with a 4.5-hour delay. How did the team's routine change to allow for that later start?
Well, firstly, thanks for having me on this morning. And, Sunday was Certainly a bit unique, but really I've got to go back to Saturday, because 6:30 p.m. Sunday was the time. There was a fair bit of toing and froing, so if we went back to 6:30 p.m. Saturday when we first had wind that the boys coming from the deep south via Wellington ended up in Palmy, and then had to bus down to Wellington to get across to us. So quite a few wee moving parts.
Wow. There,
it didn't affect us too badly, actually, because we were already over in Blenheim. So it just meant tweaking a couple of things.
And what were those things you had to tweak, mate?
So what we had to look at was a 4.5-hour change. Originally, 2:05 kickoff, we're pretty compressed in the morning. You get up, boys eat around about sort of 7 o'clock, and then you'll have your 4-hour before kickoff pre-match meal. So obviously we had to push everything forward. So to put it basically, we added in a lunch and pushed forward 4 hours. Sounds easy. Probably the biggest thing was, you know, the boys adjusting to that as well, which they did. They did really well.
So despite all of your disruptions, Stuart, Southland showed real character, especially in the second half, didn't they?
They sure did. And look, Les, to be honest, 12 minutes into the game, I thought I was going to need a bigger score sheet.
Yeah.
Obviously, half-time, 27-10, we were going pretty well. But then, I suppose the simplest form, the foot got taken off the accelerator, and you know, certainly Southland came back into the game, which is really credit to them for considering the disruptions that they'd had the day before. And they didn't actually arrive in Blenheim until 3 o'clock on game day, so they did very well.
Stu, the performance of Marty Banks was also pretty impressive in the second half for them. He certainly used the change of wind conditions and put us under a lot of pressure territory-wise, did he not?
He did, and I think that shows the quality of Marty. He obviously knows Blenheim well, as far as he's played on that ground many a time for the Marco in the past. Last year, when we played Southland and Blenheim as well, he took real control there, and I think, you know, it just showed the quality of him. He's got so much time, he can spot the gap in the backfield and place the ball in there beautifully. So no, there's still a fair bit of rugby left, and I don't want to say the old fella because he's still only young, I suppose.
Well, the young player opposite him, our own Campbell Parada, also played rather well, especially in that first half. And he got the Marco Man Award from his teammates.
He sure did. Like, he had a great game. He has really come back from his time with the Western Force during Super Rugby. He's come back a lot more confident, and he's taking the opportunity created at the moment. Well, Mitch Hunt's returning to play, and clearly, you know, it's a very, very pivotal position, the number 10, and you know. Good on Campbell. He'll be wearing that jersey again tomorrow down in Dunedin as well.
Yeah, well, he certainly gives the ball a thump, whether it's out of the hand or off the tee. Look, the Marco, as you say, did start off with a hiss and a roar. You mentioned that you thought you were going to need a longer score sheet. And three tries were up, 27 points to 10. We're interested, you know, you obviously review the performance. And any thoughts that came out of that review as to what were the causes for the hiccup in the second half?
Probably just, as I said earlier, you know, being up, things are going well, taking the foot off the accelerator or the foot off the throat or whatever we want to use this day and age. And you know, there's a couple of other factors. You never use things like the weather as a factor, but I know where I was standing sideline, it dropped about 5 degrees not long after half time. There was a wee bit of wind change, but no, I think more than anything, probably just mindset led. First game of the season, everybody's, you know, everyone's keen to get out there and get the job done, but then you know, just taking that foot off the accelerator, there's some good learnings. I think that's probably the key thing going into round two.
Stu, we're on the way to Otago, but before we preview that match, can you tell us a bit about your life in rugby leading up to joining the Marco? That was last year.
So, like most young Kiwi lads, you know, you grow up with a ball in your hand, and from down in Christchurch. So for me, it was a typical sort of 5-year-old starting out playing for the Sydenham club, which is my family club down there, and then made my way through the junior ranks here, St. Bede's College, for a couple of years. Left there at the end of the fifth form back in those days, so never experienced first 15 rugby, but was lucky enough to play a lot of senior Division 2 and some Premier Rugby for the Sydenham and Shirley clubs in Christchurch. And then sort of from there, had a bit of a break from rugby. My wife had delivered me a daughter, which sort of changed my mindset on rugby for a few years. But in 2010, had the opportunity to get back into rugby, and I was lucky enough as a young fella back when I was playing senior rugby, my father was the manager of the Premier team at Sydenham. Over a four-year period, he was involved there where they won four championships back-to-back, which for any club is amazing. So coming into management over my father as a, you know, someone who I knew had done a very good job, very meticulous. So ended up managing the senior Premier team the 3 years there. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Got to work with a lot of what are now household names with players, which is really neat when you can sort of look back and think, you know, you were part of that player's journey. And then 2012, had the opportunity to go into the rep ranks. Bit of a different one. Started with the Canterbury Sevens program. Thoroughly enjoyed my time in seven-a-side rugby. As a manager, you're only dealing with 12 players rather than 30.
Yeah.
So quite a bit easier. And from there into the Canterbury Under-19 program at the time that program started in 2014, New Zealand Rugby had introduced a national Under-19 competition played up in Taupo, and I was lucky enough to manage that team for five campaigns, won a national tournament in 2015. With the likes of Brett Cameron, Geordie Barrett, Charlie Gamble, who's with the Waratahs now, and quite a few other boys who are all playing NPC or Super Rugby. So at the same time as that, was also been involved heavily with what was called the Crusader Knights, which is the Crusader Development Team, involved with them for seven seasons as well, and in that time is where I really got to meet a lot of people outside of Canterbury, the Tasman tie up in there. So working with the likes of Andrew Goodman and Dan Perrin, but then also, you know, being involved with a lot of the players who today are in the Marco. So coming in last year, big boots to fill with Marty Burke obviously departing and heading to the Chiefs, and coming in last year after a phone call from Andrew Goodman telling me what a lovely place Nelson is in the winter, and a great place to manage rugby. I find myself in my second season now and loving every minute of it.
Well, you're fitting in rather well, and your style and manner reminds me of Marty. I know you are your own man, but you know, it strikes me that around the players, you can be a lot of fun, friendly guy. But when it's necessary, you can be quite firm with them. So, I think that's a credit, and it's what's required at this level, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. Like at the end of the day, we're all here, you know, to be here for rugby. At the MPC level, it's our job during that campaign. But I've got a great motto that I work off, and Les, you've probably seen it in my office. It's something that I came across a couple of years ago where, you know, the game only lasts 80 minutes. Most of the time is spent off the field, so smile. So that's something I keep pretty close to me, because you got to have fun. Rugby's perceived as being a pretty grim sport at times, but for me, it's about being here, doing what I can for the team. We've got a really big emphasis as a management group, as a union, of caring for our people, and obviously our people are our players. So that's something which I work hard on. Yeah, there's times where you got to have a bit of a sterner talk to people, but we don't have those very often, touch wood.
Just hopping back to your Crusader Knights times, some of our players that you managed then who have really gone on, kicked on, can you name a couple? Tell us how they went on.
So 2015, the Crusader Knights played a midweek game against the Hurricanes Hunters, funnily enough they were called, in Porirua on a Wednesday at 2 o'clock. For me, it was taking a day off work, but it was the year that the All Blacks were going to the World Cup, so we had quite a few All Blacks returning to play, and I sat next to a very, very shy boy from Motueka, and that was David Havili. So he was coming through the ranks then. The following year, we had a Crusader Knights team, which the photo of the team surfaced last year, and it was amazing. We had Mitch Hunt, we had Parry Parkinson, Alex Nankerville, Shannon Frizzell, Quentin Strange, and a few other, notable names. And each year with the Crusader Knights, you would have players either returning from injury or from outside the match day 23. So the likes of Andrew McAleo, Sione Havili, right through to Leicester via Ngunuku, and in more recent times, with the involvement I'd also had with the Crusader under 20s, the likes of Matt Springer coming through. So yeah, it's a real good pathway for the players coming through that program.
Mate, you're heading down to the airport to get the team ready for the Dunedin game. How's the week been, and any major changes to the team?
She's been a typical week in rugby. A lot of people get to turn the TV on, and if they're lucky, maybe get 5 minutes before the game starts, and they see the boys run out on the field looking really sharp in their nice clean kit and everything. Obviously, there's a wee bit precedes that. We've had a really good training week. Obviously, robust review at the beginning of the week. Changes to the team, there's a couple in there. Quinton McDonald, in his 102nd game, will come in at hooker. Andrew McAleo has twinged a hamstring. Te Ari Wahu starts at number four alongside Quinton Strange. Hugh Renton will move to the back of the scrum, with Anton Segnet sitting out a couple of weeks with concussion. So really it just sort of changes the bench. We've got all four of our Tongan internationals will be in the match day 23. We've got Fatuli coming in onto the bench this week, and Sam Molly. Obviously, Willie Havili's there alongside Sione Havili, so really good numbers from that Tongan group. And just to, keep the manager on his toes and the medical crew, Matt Graham-Williams has been replaced on the bench by Atu Moley after one of Matt's flatmates had tested positive for COVID. So there's always something happening. There's always something hiding around the corner, but that's what makes this role that little bit more exciting.
Clearly never easy, but always fun. Stu, we want to wish you all the very best. First of all, safe travels, but then get stuck in tomorrow. We look forward to watching you running around at 2:05 p.m. at Forsyth Bar Stadium.
Sounds great. Thanks for your time, guys, and fins up.
Thanks very much, Stu. Fins up, mate. There you go. Stu Hunter, who is the manager of the Tasman Marco, and it's a busy role, isn't it? Because, it's one of those roles where, it's not often you're able to get in front of the camera or you're on show, But even after the game finishes, you know, that's really when your job begins, and it's full steam ahead until the next game.
Yeah. It's an attention to detail role.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're not methodical and organised and practical and pragmatic... Right, because you could imagine if you had too much emotional tie, and it could do your head in, injuries and last minute changes due to COVID or things like that. So attention to detail is clearly something Stu Hunter's got. He's a wonderful guy around the office too. Knows all of the staff extremely well and is a connector. He connects with everybody. A pleasure to have him in the office.
And it's also knowing all the rules and regs. You know, filling out team cards. When you can make subs. It's all those little refined details that you have to be on top of, which sometimes, even during a game can be quite full on.
Yeah, so, if you're not used to it, you could really stuff it up. I'm absolutely certain of that.
And obviously good pedigree with where he's come from with his background in Christchurch.
Yeah, he's been at it quite a while now, and so seriously, a good call by Andrew Goodman and now Dan Perrender to ask him to be the boss, the gaffer, as they call it.
The gaffer, good term. Well, that was the gaffer, Stu Hunter, the Tasman team manager. You're with the Marco Rugby Roundup. Right, Les, I'm almost, wondering whether I even, make an attempt to get up to watch the game. I didn't actually this time, but I kind of knew, I don't know what it was. A lot of people have said, actually, I didn't make the effort to get up. I knew what was going to happen, and I wished it hadn't, but there it was. I watched some of the highlights, and I thought at times the All Blacks looked, reasonably sharp, but obviously I was missing the parts, which were terrible, lot of mistakes. And
South Africa totally dominated that game without scoring huge numbers of points. It was just that they were dominant throughout. They were dominant at the collision. They were dominant in the air. They were just very much the better team. And I think it took until the 73rd minute for the All Blacks to score a try. So really, really tough day at the office. I have to say... it doesn't get any easier. They're now playing at Ellis Park in the High Veld. It's not going to be easy. The team has four changes to it. From a Tasman Marco point of view, we've now got two starters in the forward pack, Tyrell Lomax and Shannon Brazel.
Right, yes. I was going to say, I heard a comment from an ex-South African rugby player, and I can't remember his name. He said he was having a beer with an Australian rugby player, and the Australians, he said, what's it like playing at Ellis Park? And the Australian rugby player said, well, it's like I've come into hillbilly country, and it's the Jerry Springer show, but this lot are capable of murder.
I'm actually doing it.
Yeah, that's right. So, very, very intimidating. And the shape of the stadium apparently is as though the whole crowd's on top of you. So, that's the challenge, and an even bigger challenge from where they were before. And I just don't know. I can't see it. I can't see it. So great for Brazil's there. Tyrell Lomax, that's fantastic.
For them.
For them. Exactly. That's right. But I can't, if we play the same game as we have been, I just can't see it.
Yeah, I'm just gobsmacked that they did not move Barrett to six.
Yeah.
Just get back to that excellent forward pack we had game one against Ireland, persisting with Sam Kane means that Artie has to be at eight, but Shannon Brazel is a replacement player, happy with that, Tupou Vahi at lock and Barrett at six would have made me much happier, I think. Just for that hard nose competitiveness and don't come down my blindside type attitude. And then in the backs, you'll be very happy, Richie Mwanga back at 10, Barrett on the bench. So I think that's probably a good call.
Yeah. Well, I'm very pleased. You've got to try something. And this is the thing that people are saying is that, with the way that we're playing, because they're not only looking at what's happening this year, they're looking at what happened last year and in the championship games and the overseas contests, we just didn't seem to be playing our best rugby. We were playing a very similar style. And instead of it getting better, it's got worse. And so people are saying, well, we've got to make a change, you know. And obviously Fozzie's in the firing line, but from a player perspective and a tactic perspective, because if we carry on the way we are, we're just going to go backwards. And Fozzie could, we keep on saying Fozzie could prove us wrong. Maybe he has got a path, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. Mm. Yeah. But so I'm very pleased that Richie has got a start. But he like Barrett's going to be put under pressure if the forwards aren't going to be doing their job.
Oh, absolutely. And the rush defence that the South Africans will throw at Richie, Richie Mwanga, will definitely put him under some pressure. But he has got quickness of feet and the ability to dodge close quarter plays. So I'm hopeful that he gets a decent run and has a good game. Maybe the scoreline can be closer in the second test. We predicted, 12 and under. Last week we got that wrong slightly. It was a 16-point win, but let's hope that the ABs can keep it very close, and it'd be great from our perspective as a nation if we snagged a surprise victory.
Well, ex-All Blacks have said, how do you play South Africans, and you've got to bully a bully? So the big men, they love the physical game. Mm. You've got to give it back to them, and if you don't do that, you can't run away from it. You've got to take them head on, and if you don't do that, you'll get caught short. And then the kicking game, which they do very well, they chase. We don't seem to be able to back up the kicks that we're doing. And I don't like that as a game anyway. Even Mills was talking about the fact that we should be hitting the corners, you know, to get territory. But then we've got to contest the line out, you know, and try and put some pressure on their forwards. But, yeah, anyway, I mean, we're all a bit deflated. We're all a bit deflated because we just kind of know what's going to happen, and it's going to be very, very interesting if we don't get the win, what the move's going to be after that. All right, Les, thank you very much once again. Enjoy your golf this afternoon. And that wraps things up. My thanks to Stu Hunter, the Marco team manager, and, of course, to Les Edwards. You can hear this podcast on talknelson.co.nz and on our Facebook page, and also Fresh FM, 9 o'clock on Friday nights. We'll speak to you again next week on the Marco Rugby Roundup. Have a great weekend.
The Marco Rugby Roundup.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, the Top of the South's community access media station, with support from New Zealand On Air. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz.